changes me, transforms me, and I receive it this morning in Jesus' name. I honor your word and your Holy Spirit. Give me ears to hear, eyes to see, and a heart that is receptive to the word of God and the Spirit of God, all to the glory of God. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen. All right, 2 Timothy chapter 2, I mean chapter 1, excuse me, verse 5. Through 8. We're going to read 5 through 8. First, 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5 through 8. Okay, so we're going to see a model of motherhood and ministry. It says in verse 5, when I call to remembrance the genuine faith, everybody say genuine faith. So genuine faith means it's non-hypocritical. It's sincere. Now, what's the biggest thing, and we're talking to mothers today, that your children need? We need your faith to be genuine, just as genuine at home than it is outside the home. So it needs to be sincere, the real deal. Amen? Like you look at the pureness of meat, pureness of, you know, this. They say it's 100% organic or pure, certified as pure. That's what he's talking about, genuine faith. He's saying faith that's real deal. And, you know, your family, your household needs to see genuine faith. Amen. Non-hypocritical, because, you know, sometimes when we, you know, get dressed, get going places, we're one thing there, but a different thing at home. And we don't want to be that way, right? Amen. So genuine faith that's in you. So everybody say, I got genuine faith in me. And he said, which was first dwelt in where? His grandmother, Lois. And your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that is within you also. Therefore, I remind you to stir up the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but the power, love, and a sound mind. Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord. Amen. Everybody say, I'm not ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner. But he said, share with me the sufferings for the gospel according to the power of God. All right. So not ashamed of the testimony. In other words, your genuine faith will help you and enable you not to be ashamed of your testimony. You know, your children should hear first from you how you came to know Jesus. They should hear first from you how you came to love Jesus. They should hear from your lips, Jesus, I love Jesus more. Now, you know, in today's culture, you got all these smothering mothers that say, you know, I love you, I love you, you're the best thing ever. And it's almost borderline idolatry. You're showing them that you worship them more than you worship Jesus. See, genuine faith says, son, daughter, grandson, granddaughter, whoever, I love you, but guess what? I love Jesus more. And that will keep your children and grandchildren interested in the one you love more than them. That's genuine faith. Come on, somebody say praise the Lord. So you got to be thinking about that. And sometimes if we've grown up and become, you know, natural human love professionals, and because natural human love is typically selfish, and we always say prideful, because you say my baby, my boy, my son, my daughter, and nobody else has nothing to say about mine, right? But we have to be non-possessive, because God's kind of love that generates genuine faith says, I'm loving you, but I'm leading you to the Lord. Because I love Jesus more, but I want you to learn to what? Love Jesus more. Love Jesus more than me. Oh, sometimes mamas, it's hard to let go of that. Because we want those kids right around us all the time. We almost hate to see them grow up. Because he's still my baby. Are y'all here this morning? So this text gives us a powerful illustration of two loved mothers who possessed genuine faith. Everybody say genuine faith. In other words, these two notable mothers possess a sincere faith. That means I'm generally trusting God more than I trust my kids. Come on now. The two faithful and godly mothers talked about and walked. They talked their talk and they walked their walk. In other words, we would say it this way, they practiced what they preached. And you got to remember, faith is not hereditary. It's learned. Now, how do we know that for sure? Because a lot of times you raise your children and bring them to church, but they never got connected or committed to Christ and his church. That's why there's a generational drop-off and a generational gap, because mothers have tainted their faith with feelings, with flesh, saying, my baby. Well, I'm not feeling you right now. You growing up as a teenager, you talking back to me. Or maybe they're an adult and they talk to you like you stole something. Faith, it's not hereditary. It has to be learned. Who has to teach them? The one that typically is primarily mostly with them is the mom. And the scripture is crediting Eunice and Lois for teaching Timothy. Amen. So Eunice was not just a mother. She was a model. She understood her mission and ministry of motherhood. Now let's see the literal count in Acts. It's up on the TV screens, if you can see it. Acts 16, verse 1 and 2. Then he came to Derbe and Lystra, and behold, certain disciples there. There was a certain disciple there named Timothy. So he's already been trained. The son of a certain Jewish woman who believed. But his father was Greek. And he was well spoken of by the brethren who were at Lystra and Iconium. Talking about Timothy. In other words, Eunice's faith was well reported of that, in that she raised a godly man, a godly son. She was herself a born-again believer. And we always said, friends, for your faith to work, it's got to work at home. Amen. No amount of success can compensate for failure at home. And evidently, Eunice's faith was so effective, her son grew up to become one of the most notable men of the New Testament. Paul called him his spiritual son. We see two books named after him. He was a pastor of the largest and most influential church in Asia Minor, the Ephesus church. You know who went to his church? Mary, the mother of Jesus. The apostle John brought Mary to that Timothy's church. Praise the Lord. Now, how did they model at motherhood back then that is still relevant today? Next slide, guys. Thank you. I'm going to read something out of Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 6. See, they learned, you know, the New Testament wasn't fully written back then, but how did they learn? They learned how they were taught and patterned after, and they perpetuated it. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 1, it says, and this is the commandment these are the statutes and the judgments which the Lord your God has commanded to teach you, that you may observe them in the land you walk, you are crossing over to possess, that you may fear the Lord your God and keep all his statutes and his commands, which I command you, and you and your son and your grandson. So he's saying your responsibility goes a couple levels. Your grandsons, all the days of your life, and that your days may be prolonged. Verse 3, therefore hear, O Israel, and be careful to observe it, and to make it well, that it may be well with you, that you may multiply greatly as the Lord God of your fathers has promised you, a land flowing with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel. He's telling us to hear twice in two different verses. That means pay attention to this. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one, and you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and with all your strength. And all these words which I command you today shall be where? In your heart. And you shall teach them, not casually, but he says diligently, to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit at your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise up. That means, everybody say, all the time. You shall bind them upon, as a sign upon your hand, and they shall be frontlets between your eyes, and you shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. Somebody say, praise the Lord. So we said modeling and mentoring spiritual devotion. Everybody say spiritual devotion. So this is demonstrating how you are to love the Lord God. Not just love the child. And we've all gotten that trap as parents. We think, well, our love will cover up and clear up all their issues. If I just love them. And if I just squeeze them. And if I just kiss on them a lot. And I always said it. You have heard me say it over the years. Natural human love is good, but not good enough. Why? Because it's based in selfishness, and it can turn to hatred overnight. You can't love your child enough just naturally saying, I'm their mama, and I just love you, I love you, I love you, and tell them I love you every night, and that's going to help. You got to love the Lord. You got to model and minister to them. How? By showing and telling them how you love the Lord. They've got to see you loving the Lord, and you got to tell them how much you love the Lord. That's spiritual devotion. Everybody say, praise the Lord. See, every part of a human being is to be employed in loving God. Thoughts, emotions, energy, purpose. He says in verse 4 and 5, listen, O Israel, New Living Translation this time. The Lord our God is the Lord alone. He's the Lord alone. That means he's the master. He's the controller. He's the owner. He's the ruler. He's the one who decides. The one who gets to tell me what to do. Amen. And he said, you must. Everybody say, I must. He didn't change it. You must love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul and all your strength. So God poured his image into them in order that they might respond in kind. God loved you with everything, and he expects you to love him back with everything. Now, the world helps us get it twisted. We think that we should live and die and run after our kids until they die. Or until we die. Usually. Amen. It means to direct and show devotion to and towards anything. That means if you direct or show any devotion to or towards anything or anyone besides God. To love God with something instead of all that we are is to fall into the trap of idolatry. Everybody say, don't fall into that trap. That the Lord has warned us and he warned them as newly freed slaves about. You came out from an area, Egypt, where they worshiped idols. Don't do the same thing. Don't idolize stuff or people in your house ahead of me. What was the first commandment? You shall not have any other gods before who? Before me. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And the trap of idolatry today is, you know, we put our kids in all this stuff and dress them all up, take pictures of them. They're photogenic by the age of 3. They're complete models by the age of 10. Because we put them up on this pedestal to make them famous or make them feel good. What did they don't learn, though? They don't learn to love the Lord, which is the first skill set of mothers and motherhood with genuine faith. Amen. Number two, everybody getting this? Spiritual discipline. Everybody say spiritual discipline. What is that? Prayer, Bible study, reading and meditating the word, fasting, service, worship, confessions. That's all done at the house. That all should be practiced and played out personally, privately, and publicly before your children. Personally, privately, and publicly. Pray with your kids. Pray for your kids. But show them how to pray. Amen. Everybody good? Okay, our daily devotions, daily, everybody say daily. Daily devotion, which are our throne time, prayer, our think time, reading, studying the Word of God, meditating the Word of God, our think time, and our thank time, praise and worship, rejoicing, giving thanks, should be done privately, publicly with your children. In other words, you teach them how to get in that habit. That's a godly good habit. Everybody say, thank you, Lord. The goals of these godly habits are spiritual disciplines that are to enable the Lord to help us with the dedication of our heart and the discipline of our flesh. Everybody say, the dedication of my heart and the discipline of my flesh. Why do we want people to have Bible reading? So you can just read it mentally and just say, okay, I read my Bible today. No, you're supposed to have think time. And some of you can add your comments sometimes because you need to be thinking and journaling. That's just a habit that we want to have. You journal what you read that day. You write down something that God gave you a thought about from the scriptures. That journaling is a spiritual discipline. Woo! Somebody say hallelujah. So why? Because it helps you dedicate your heart, because the Lord, the Bible says, excuse me, in Proverbs 4, that you keep your heart or guard it with all diligence, because out of it flows the issues of life. If you don't guard your heart's left unguarded. And what happens when your kids say something to you, when they get grown enough to talk ugly to you or do something nasty to you, it penetrates where? Your heart. You're like, man, I sacrificed for this kid all these years. I cooked for him. I cleaned up after him. I wiped their blank and they blank behind. And you talk to me about like that? You had guarded your heart. And then your flesh won't be disciplined. Now, I'm not going to look for a show of hands here, but how many times you got angry with your kids? You got offended with your kids? You harbored maybe even unforgiveness or an offense against your family members. Your flesh is not disciplined. Now, we'll talk about this Wednesday night because the Lord's put it on my heart about Wednesday night. You know, one of those things that challenge us is the challenge of pride or self-pity. One of the things that we're challenged from the word to do is to stay humble. Everybody say, stay humble. So if you're not humble, you yield to pride. Pride is the strength of sin and selfishness. And when you sin because of pride, you start defending yourself. How dare you call me an imperfect mother or father? Don't you know how much money I spent for you? How much you cost over these lives? Am I preaching real? Amen? Y'all here with me? And I know the pipers have to leave, so have a blessed day. Thank you. Y'all be blessed. All right. Make sure you take your gifts back there and some water, don't it? All right. Modeling and thirdly, modeling and mentoring spiritual discernment. Everybody say discernment. To clearly and wisely distinguish between right and wrong, good and evil, righteousness versus unrighteousness, wise versus foolish, right people versus the wrong people to hang around with. You know, you got to teach them wisdom. This is the kind of person you want to hang around with. This is the kind of person you want to date. Now, we may not have got it right all our life, but there's time to you can redeem with your grandchildren. Amen? And ask God to redeem the time with your own children. So you can have an open door as a friend and as a big brother in the Lord, big sister in the Lord, to be able to talk to them about, hey, you know, you don't need to hang around people who are casual in their Christianity, that they don't love God, and they don't love the church. Amen. They're more carnal than spiritual. It's not that you're judging them, but you got to have discernment. You got to be a fruit inspector. Amen. Look at the fruit of their life, the fruit of their conversations, what they do with their habits and what they'd like to do when they hang out and stuff. If it's always party, drink, we call it sex, drugs, and rock and roll, you know, obviously that shouldn't be some people you hang out with, right? Somebody say praise the Lord. Fourthly, the modeling and mentoring of spiritual development. Deuteronomy 6:6-10, it says this, and you must commit yourself wholeheartedly to these commandments. Wholeheartedly. That's why you got to have devotion first. You got to be devoted to God, but you also got to be dedicated and devoted to his word. The word has first place and final authority in this house. The word of God has first place and final authority in this house. Amen. And so what the word says. So you got to teach your child. What does the word say? Mama, mama, mama. Don't pass down some old wise fables or tales. You pass down the word. And teach them and develop them so they can read the word. Have them read the Bible to you at the house. And you must commit yourself wholeheartedly to these commandments that I'm giving you today. Repeat them again and again. To your children, talk about them when you're at home, when you're on the road, when you're going to bed, when you're getting up. Tie them with your hands and wear them on your foreheads as reminders. Write them on the doorposts of your heart, house, and on your gates. The Lord your God will soon bring you to the land which he swore to give you and make you vow to your when he made his vow to your ancestors, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. A land with large, prosperous cities that you did not build. So moms, you're anointed and appointed to teach, to train your children, to raise godly men and women from your own house. See, development is ongoing and continuous when you tell, talk, and teach God's word at your house. Tell your sons and daughters your personal stories and testimony of how you came to Jesus and received Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior. Have you told them yet? Have you reminded them, this is how I met the Lord? This is when I came to Jesus. Amen? Help them receive Jesus as their personal Lord and Savior. Lead them to be born again and filled with the Spirit. You know, with today's busy society, what sometimes it gets done? Stick an iPad in front of them. Stick TV in front of them. Let the world teach them. You're anointed. Everybody say, I'm anointed and appointed. And that includes fathers, too, to teach and train children. That's a parenting anointing. When you become a parent, even if it was intentional or, here's another one. Everybody say, I'm anointed and I'm appointed. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Teach them how to pray. Teach them how to develop a habit of coming to church and coming to the servant in the church. Teach them how to tithe and give offerings to the Lord and be generous to do and do good. Praise God. Somebody say, hallelujah. You know, Kenneth E. Hagin talks about the mom who was a nagger and a complainer about her son and her daughter. And he kind of got her attention by saying, you know, they don't come to church because you know, the mom closest to them sets a bad example. That's what modeling is. You got to set a good example. With genuine good faith. And what you like and desire, they tend to like and desire. They'll follow suit. You're a big influence. Amen. How many mothers believe that you're a big influence over your children and your grandchildren? Praise God. You're a big influence. So be a godly influence. Somebody say, praise the Lord. So he was talking about a family that was... her church attendance was so sketchy and off and on, and she'd come back every once in a while to pray and receive her healing and come to God. And he made the statement that caught my attention. He said, that's the reason children don't go to church and don't come to church, because the parents are so unfaithful. Now remember, no amount of compensation or makeup can work for a lack of what you don't do at home. You can't compromise home. It has to be lived where? At the house. So the motherhood, ministry of motherhood works where? At the house. And the first step in that ministry is to be a model. Praise the Lord. Y'all getting something out of this today? Somebody say, praise the Lord. And so you got to model generosity. Come here. Let me show you how we tithe. You write your tithes out. But you know, mom, that's inconsistent with your tithe and your offerings and your money. Then what do you think the children are going to be? Amen. If they see you stingy and you know, God forbid, nobody's stealing, but... if they see you stealing, what are they going to do? You're going to be stingy and stealing too. You know, Mark talks about him and Pastor Trina talked about they had their marriage and family conferences recently. And so it was really good, actually. But they were talking about the time when their son was 3 years old. And they went in the store and they walk around here and they kind of walk away, but the son, Aaron, he's a pastor now. He's 40 years old now, so he's a pastor. And so at three years old, he looks at the candy jar. He opens it. And what was he doing? He was putting candies in his pocket. And he comes back around, and Pastor Mark catches him. Pastor Trent is there too, because they parented together. Everybody say that's a good thing. You got to have agreement. So, you know, you got to work together. Amen. And so Pastor Mark's job was the disciplinarian. So he said, come here. What you doing? Nothing. He said, did you take some of that candy? You got candy in your pocket. And he didn't want to admit it. And then he pulls the candy out of his pocket. And he pulls the candy. He said, put the candy up. Put that candy back. And so at the time, they were traveling. In traveling ministry, they weren't pastoring at that time, but they were traveling and they had a little trailer outside. So he went outside and talked to his son. But what do you got to teach him? What did he teach him? You know, well, they learned to teach him the word. You know, the word says you should not steal. And he says, son, I'm not going to raise any thief. And then he disciplined him with the paddle. He said, you're not going to raise a thief in my house. I'm not going to raise the thief in my house. Amen. And sometimes, you know, kids steal stuff from their parents. Why? Because the parents allow it. Hallelujah. So he came. He dried his eyes up and got situated after he got spanked. Discipline. He went back in the store because he told his daddy when he was in the store, why'd you put those candies in your pocket? He said, the devil told me to do it, daddy. Then we went back in the store, went past the candy jars, looked at them. He said, daddy, the devil's not telling me to do it anymore. He said, I know, son, because I beat the devil out of you. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Let's go to the next slide. Titus. We're almost done. Y'all getting something out of this? So you have to discipline your children. Bad attitudes, sassing back, not obeying you. Because, you know, both him and Pastor Trent was telling us, you know, if you don't deal with it when they're 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 years old, by the time they're 14, 15, you're going to have trouble on your hands. If they lie to you, if they cheat, if they steal, come on now. If they're allowed to express a bad attitude, you know, Pastor Nancy Dufresne always says her mother taught her. She says she was not spirit filled, but she was a hardcore born again believer. And she says it doesn't matter what's going on, you're coming to church. So she credited her church attendance and her habit of going to church to her mom. And she said her mom was so hard. And when she got into her teens, 12, 13, 14, and going through these moods and attitudes, y'all know what I'm talking about, right? And going through her moods and attitudes, she said, we're not going to have that emotional mess in my house. He said, even when she had to spank him, you better not act up and you will not be crying and going hysterical. Now bend over. She didn't let him cry and go, fall out, Because what happens? They learned emotional manipulation. They learned to lean on what they feel. She said, I'm who I am today because my mother taught me to put my emotions in their place. They have a place, but you got to put them in the right place. You can't be emotionally crazy. And sometimes our kids act out when they're young. We don't discipline them. And when they get older, they're acting out with the law, with legal stuff. Amen. Y'all hear what I'm talking about? All right, let's look at this. Continuation here. It continues in Titus, another pastoral epistle. Listen to this. Titus chapter 2, 3, and 5. He says, similarly, teach the older women to live in a way that honors God. It means you got to honor God at the house. How do you do that? Well, that's for the older women to teach. The older women got to be a model of that. And then they got to mentor that. Amen? Amen. You must learn not to slander others, to be heavy drinkers. Instead, they should teach others what is good. The older women must train the younger women to love their husbands and their children. Now, that word love is the word phileo, which means treat them like that you like them and you're friendly toward them. Amen. You don't cook for the child angry. You don't cook for the house with regret. Ugh. What are you teaching them? You don't like serving your family. Oh, y'all don't shout me down. I'm preaching real good today. He said to children, and to live wisely, to be pure, to work at home in their homes, to do good. Sometimes the house is a mess because the mother's a mess. Praise the Lord. You know, I've learned from others, men and women of God, Pastor Trinith and Pastor Lynette Hagen, good models, and Pastor Anthony, I've learned from them. You know, they manage stuff. I mean, they have, and they said, if I can't do it myself, I get somebody to help me take care of my house. They trusted God for some people to come, because they're traveling with their husbands all over the place. They got to make sure the house is taken care of every day. And Miss Hagen, Miss Ruthie, if she was going to the doctor or the dentist or wherever, she always dressed up and took care of herself until she was 80-something years old and went home to be with the Lord. You never caught her unkept. Now, when she was older, she had people that would come in and do her hair and do her nails. Amen. Somebody say praise God. So you got to keep yourself, do good, and be submissive to their own husbands. Now, Pastor Mark tells a funny story, and I'm not telling you to do this, but he tells a funny story he told in the marriage conference, marriage and family conference, just not too long ago, that, you know, and she, Pastor Trina said, I delight in doing this. She said, every night I rub my husband's feet before he goes to bed. But what did she do? She learned to love and like her husband to a point that she massages his feet. He's standing on his feet all day ministering, and she said he needs foot care. Woo! It got hard in here for a minute. To be submissive to their husbands, right? Submissive is not agreement. Submissive means I don't agree, but I'm going to do it because you my man, you my husband. Thank you, Fred. I thought I was hanging off a ledge there. I almost fell off. that they should not bring shame on the world, on the word of God. Bring shame on the word of God. What happens? Shame gets put on the word of God because you won't do what you need to do at the house. Because we want to run around, run with our friends, and run and have fun, and run in fellowship. But the house needs to be taken care of. The house needs to be in order. Praise God. Now, why do we talk about these things? We're going to talk about the dads when the fathers they come around. Because what? Strong families make strong churches. And every once in a while, we got to go back and touch on these things, right? So that we get things back in proper alignment. That your ministry starts where? At home. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Somebody say, hallelujah. So to be a role model and raise them from by precept and example, you got to be telling them, talking the talk, walking the walk, and to teach, you must be first be taught. So the ministry of motherhood is not just a mission, but a mandate. Go back to our Deuteronomy 6 scripture. Deuteronomy 6 and 7. And all these words which I command you today shall be where? In your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children. Talk of them when you are at the house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. Now, these commandments are not to grieve you, moms, but to groom you. Deuteronomy 22:6. Train up a child in the way that he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. The greatest inheritance you can leave behind for your children, your grandchildren, your great-grandchildren, is a good, godly Christian upbringing. It's a good, godly Christian upbringing. Not that you're spending all your time and money and resources trying to get them a best school, a best education, and protect them from the world around them. It's a Christian upbringing. Somebody say, praise the Lord. To honor and worship God, to trust in the Lord, to obey the Lord and obey his word, to serve the Lord and serve in the local church, and to pray and be led by the Spirit of God in all matters of life and family. What does the Holy Spirit say? Not just what mama say. What does mama say? To be generous and live generously, to find and fulfill the purpose and plan of God for your life. Come on, baby. We got to get down here and find what God's purpose is right now. Don't tell them you can be whatever you want to be. You're teaching them to be selfish. And they decide for themselves. See, the Lord, being Jesus being Lord, means he's the one who decides for me. Not mama, not grandmama. Teach them how to get them weaned off of you and get weaned on to the Holy Spirit. Ooh, I'm preaching better than y'all saying amen. Hallelujah. So when you're, what are you passing on as we close? I'm going to close with this one, guys. Thank you, guys. Y'all good listeners today. Amen. Everything we do in life becomes history. And some people got it backwards a little bit, because the world thing is go to events, go to entertainment. I watched that movie. I went to that movie. You're going to events and you're going on trips, and nothing wrong with that. But that becomes history. You know, as an insurance guy going in people's houses, you know, I see people's history because they got pictures when they were children and all the way up. And that's fine. But that's history. But the big question is, everything you set in motion becomes legacy. So what have you set in motion? What do you set in motion for your child or grandchild? Do they desire your faith? Do they desire to follow your faith? Do they desire to follow your faithfulness to the Lord? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Leave a good godly legacy to your children, your grandchildren to draw on. Mama was a prayer. Grandmama was a prayer warrior. She knew how to pray heaven down, not at church, but at the house. She knew how to hear from God, not just at church, but at the house. She knew how to believe and trust God, not just at church, but at the house. She honored God. At the house, you walk through the house and you see honor of God, loyalty to God, obedience to God. Hallelujah. Proverbs 29:15. The Lord, the rod of rebuke will give wisdom, but the child left to himself brings shame to his mother. So I said, don't fall into that trap to say, well, I got to keep him, I got to take care of him, and they just stick something in front of him. God's given us time to do what's right and righteous, which is a mandate, not just a mission, a mandate. Raise godly sons and daughters, grandsons and granddaughters. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Would you stand with me, please? Just stand for a little bit with me. And a wise man said, practicing the art of parenthood is an ounce of example worth a ton of preaching. An ounce of example is worth a ton of preaching. Your actions speak louder than your words. Proverbs 31:1 says the words of King Samuel, the mule, the utterance which his mother taught him. His mother taught him. What are we teaching? What are we teaching, moms, grandma? Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you for helping us receive from your word and from your Holy Spirit. We give you all the praise, all the honor, and all the glory. In the name of Jesus.